welcome to an all-new episode of The McFuture. I'm Steve Factor, and today I have an incredible guest, Governor Jesse Ventura. Jesse, in case you don't know, was the Minnesota governor from the Reform Party. He was also a Navy SEAL, a professional wrestler, a TV show host, and now he's the author of the Marijuana Manifesto. And the reason I invited him on the show is, as you know, if you've been listening, I've been consumed with the idea of revolution and disruption, you know, more on the business side. 5 years ago, I think I blinked and every single corporate drone suddenly became a disruptor or innovator or some sort of social media guru. Every kid with a WeWork desk is this close to annihilating some major industry, as long as it doesn't wake up his mom. And one guy, I swear to you, is calling himself a digital prophet at a half-dead company, AOL. By the way, the link is included in the article. Even I've been guilty of it. Futurist. Ugh. What am I thinking? We're all rocketing towards peak Kardashian. That's when our packaging is more valuable than the product that's inside. And maybe that's why we're all craving authenticity and why Trump and Bernie are leading so-called revolutions. The reason I say so-called is because history is a brutal judge of who is and is not a revolutionary. True revolutionaries are rare. And how can you tell who is alive today who might be one? Consequences. Real revolutionaries, they pay a price. And not just because they set out to become martyrs or to change the world, but because it's the only way they know how to be. I'll let history decide if Jesse Ventura is a revolutionary, but he's definitely paying a price for challenging a system that does not like to be challenged. I don't always agree with Jesse, and honestly, neither will you. But when we're done, I'm willing to bet that you would rather live in a world where he has the right to say it. Unfortunately, I think the walls are closing in. And as we get to the conclusion, I'll explain why I think we're heading towards this mass silence. This is the story of one of America's true disruptors and what it means for others who are looking to change the world. I mean, really change the world. Plus, there's going to be a bonus episode where I get into all kinds of political issues with Jesse, where we solve everything from abortion to the Middle East to Black Lives Matter. You will not want to miss it. You just go to ideafactory.com and sign in and you can listen. But let's jump in. The first thing Jesse told me was a shocker.
I'm blackballed right now. Did you know that I haven't been able to get a job with a United States employer for the last 4 years, 5 years? No one will hire me to do anything, yet I get ratings. I get ratings through the roof. I have to go outside the United States now to get employment. Don't you think Jesse Ventura would be a great product endorser of something? I couldn't get an endorsement deal if I went around with an AR-15.
To understand why Jesse can't find work, we need a little bit of backstory.
When I got out of office in 2003, I was the hottest commodity out there because I was the voice of the independent who had proved it by winning an election. So at that point, I overshadowed Ross Perot because I won. And MSNBC, Fox, and CNN got in a bidding war for me when I decided not to seek a second term, and MSNBC won. And I signed a 3-year contract with them. If you'll think back, you'll notice from 03 to 06, you never heard from me, did you? They had just hired Phil Donahue, the former daytime guy, and Phil was their highest rated show. But then I wasn't allowed on, and Phil was removed. And do you want to know why? Because both of us vehemently opposed the invasion of Iraq and the Iraq War. If you think back that far, you didn't hear anyone speaking out against the invasion of Iraq. I was under a 3-year contract. They paid me, and I never did a thing. In that contract, I could not do any news programs or work or talk or be on any other network.
Now, you'd think the MSNBC experience would have taught Jesse a lesson and maybe tamed him, but Jesse's not that easy to tame. In fact, his next project, the TV show Conspiracy Theory, pretty much sealed his image as a heretic. He exposed some things that maybe people didn't want exposed, or maybe Jesse just couldn't get work. I'll let you decide.
Then, of course, I got into doing the show Conspiracy Theory. Now, we went to a lot of places, apparently, where people didn't want us to go. And I got read off on the floor of Congress. When we showed the world, because no one knew about it, that the government had ordered FEMA to build like six of these retention camps throughout the country. I saw one of the camps, and when you looked at the FEMA camp and you looked at the camps over in Germany in World War II, they looked identical. They all had railroad spurs coming up to them. The one we saw the scary part was in the back. It had stuff for little kids to play on. And it's all inside high-level security, barbed wire fencing. And the excuse I got was that, well, if we have another Katrina, we need a place to put people. And the thing you learn when you deal with government, what you learn quickly, you can ask all the questions you want and you'll never get an answer. Because on Conspiracy Theory, we were going to do both sides of the conspiracy. But a lot of them dealt with the government, and the government gives you zero cooperation. So we just then morphed the show and said, well, then hell, we can't do that. Let's just show the conspiracy side and let the people see a different alternative to what they've been told. The show is entertainment. We were fortunate. We had the camera and we had the budget to do it with. Imagine if you had a bigger budget, what you could expose.
Now, you'd think years of underemployment would tame the former governor. He'd get a nice, crisp Armani suit, spell check his resume, and then walk into CNN, the model corporate citizen. Yeah, right. Jesse's not one for makeovers. He's as controversial as ever. Jesse recalled a conversation he once had with Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley came to my getting out party, and this was pre-Obama, 2003. Obama was barely on the screen yet. And I made the statement at then, having fun, that if I ever ran for president, I was going to take Charles Barkley as my running mate, my friend Charles. They brought the mic to Charles, and Charles says, Governor, I think that's a great idea because I'm all for saving money and lowering government spending. He said, if you pick me, we can get rid of the Secret Service. And I looked and said, well, how can we do that, Charles? I stepped right into it. And Charles looks at me because he says, ain't nobody going to shoot you and put a black man like me there. And that resonated with me. I said, yeah, right. If your vice president is more scary than you, that's an insurance policy.
To him, the Trump-Pence ticket was the exact opposite. So Jesse concocted a very interesting scenario that would make for a great screenplay.
What a great screenplay here. You get your guy a heartbeat away from the presidency, right? The president is an outspoken guy who, because of things he said, has created natural enemies, i.e. the Mexicans, i.e. the Muslims. So you have two potential Lee Harvey Oswalds sitting right out there, don't you, of who to blame it on. All you got to do is pick which one, isolate some poor little sucker, homeless guy or whatever, set him up, make the evidence look like he did it, and then you take out that president and you get the guy who you want, who's a heartbeat away, into the office.
Jesse also implied that that's why JFK bought the farm.
Having studied the conspiracies, doesn't it sound a lot like Jack Kennedy? There would have been no Vietnam War had Jack Kennedy served a second term. They needed and wanted a Vietnam War. And the simplest way of doing it was take out LBJ would do it. Take out Kennedy, LBJ, you got the Vietnam War. All it took was one guy, and then cover it up afterwards. It's simple. And I don't put nothing past anybody. You're talking about power, the most power in the world here. Do you think that collateral damage gets in the way of that?
You got to love that, Jesse. Free as a bird. Meanwhile, I'm shutting my shades and dimming the lights as I talk to him. Not sure who's going to come first, the hitman or the Secret Service. Either way, I better bake him some brownies. get on their good side. As you'll hear in the bonus episode, Trump came up a lot in our conversation. And Jesse takes a perverse sort of pleasure in what the orange one is doing to the GOP.
There's an unrest out there that's been going on, going back to me and going back to before me during parole. It's been growing and growing and growing. An unrest against the status quo out there because they're not listening. As times get tougher, it will grow even more. Now, is Donald Trump the answer? I don't know. But he's an outgrowth of that. You forget Donald Trump is not a Republican. In 98, he came and supported me in Minnesota. We actually contemplated a presidential run from him back then as a third party. Donald also saw what the Republicans did to the Reform Party. We had a loophole that delegates could register, so Pat Buchanan and all his minions came over and stole our nomination in 2000. That's when I quit the party. And what Trump has done is he's done the same thing to the Republicans that the Republicans and Buchanan did to the Reform Party. The reason I can't and won't ever support him, I will not support a Republican or Democrat, and by joining them, he becomes them.
But it's Jesse's run-in with Bernie Sanders that really disappointed him.
You had two distinct movements that happened in this election cycle. You had the Sanders people, and you still got the Trump people. Far left, far right. Yet they're both standing for the same thing. They're tired of the status quo. Can you unite the far right and the far left to gain victory over the status quo? I don't know. We'll find out. Will it go away after this onslaught? Well, in the case of the far left, I knew it last year that it was going to die because I went to Bernie's rally here in Minneapolis, and I wanted to talk to him and possibly, I thought, even endorse him because we have a lot more in common. People always equated me to Trump. But I thought I really had more in common with Bernie because Bernie didn't take any dirty money, neither did I. Trump apparently used his own, which is commendable. I'm not that rich. I wouldn't do it anyway. And Bernie and I agree that campaign finance is the root of all evil. The buying of our politicians by corporate America, Wall Street, and all that. So I went and met with Bernie. Bernie cold-shouldered me. He gave me about 1 minute in the hall. And all I was able to get out of him, I said, Bernie, if you lose this nomination with the Democrats, will you continue the movement independently, either yourself or throw your support to an independent? And he said to me point blank, no, I will endorse the Democrat, meaning Hillary. So at that point, I realized Bernie ain't an independent. Bernie's a Democrat. He might call himself an independent, but he's not. For him to endorse the Democrat blindly like he has done, and he's did it. He's a man of his word because he told me that's where by last summer I realized the whole Bernie thing could die out because now he's going to endorse the very corporate Wall Street that he railed on and what all these young people followed him for.
It occurred to me why Jesse's big TV checks aren't coming anymore. Every successful disruptor in Jesse's world, and I'm talking about media and politics, they know how to rebel, but to do it inside the lines, corporate lines, party lines. Jesse never got that memo. You think about John Oliver. He delivers these smart, funny monologues that expose all kinds of topics, and it seems provocative. It seems controversial. But then you look a little bit closer, and they're perfectly packaged for the sensibilities of HBO management and all the hashtag warriors that are watching, eager to conquer any injustice from the comfort of their iPhones. Then you think about Ann Coulter and Sarah Palin and their baby, Milo Yiannopoulos. They say wild, outrageous things, but all that wildness is tailored for conservative audiences who want a little bit of danger or a little bit of crazy, but not too much. At the end, these people toe the line and they support the party's orthodoxies and they find a warm home on the GOP speaking circuit or when they sell books. Even think about the king of all media, Howard Stern. He redefined the boundaries of free speech on TV and radio. But he mostly shocked inside of corporate lines. Now, taking nothing away from Howard, he took his lumps, he got fired, he was fined by the FCC, but that was early in his career. Then he got too big to fail. When I gave Jesse my theory, he pulled no punches.
I think Howard sold out. You want to know what I base it on? And it breaks my heart. I think the Howard Stern of old would have ran with me. And Howard turned me down, flat down. He wouldn't do it. You know, he's got the big NBC deal now, and he lives out in the Hamptons. Life is pretty terrific right now. And I don't think Howard wants to rock this terrific boat he's riding. So I don't blame him. And I can tell you what the drawn lines are. I'm way outside them. I'm blackballed right now. And the reason is the exact thing you talked about with Oliver and Howard. It's just that I go outside the corporate lines. They stay within them. And the corporations run everything.
Maybe our rebels aren't rebels. They're safely cultivating their tribes inside of existing ideologies. And maybe they're right. People don't want rebellion or change. They want comfort and safety nets, no matter what they say. The world is dangerous enough. Plus, they see what happens to real disruptors like Assange and Snowden. They literally don't see daylight. And it seems that Jesse was on that same path before he was pushed to the fringe. And some of that, he'll admit, is his own doing. But compared to Snowden and Assange, maybe they, whoever they are, did him a favor. They saved him from a life of grief. That brought me to a second trend I wanted Jesse's opinion on. The walls of freedom are slowly starting to close in on us. And as I said in the Revolution podcast, I'm not going to rehash it, but there's a few points in there, like the Fortune 500 is now 72% of our economy, and every major industry is consolidating. We rely more and more on monopolies for critical services, from mobile to media to food. We sign all these one-sided contracts and 35,000-word online user agreements pretty much every day. And then automation is eliminating jobs way faster than we can create them. And most people depend on employers for their health coverage. This is not a recipe for free speech. This is a recipe for silence. People will be afraid to speak up because the consequences become too great. Losing a job will be a lot like losing your life. And our feeble, useless government no longer protects those civil rights, but it enables the consolidation of power that will eventually silence us, unless things change. Here was Jesse's response to my little hypothesis. And in this one, I'm actually going to play what I said. I know it's phone call quality, but you got to hear my reaction.
All the things we've talked about, you want it put into one simple word, what we've just spoken about, I can get it to one word, but it's a word that gets you in trouble if you say it, but it's the truth.
Do it.
It's called fascism.
Oh, boy.
What is the definition of fascism?
Corporate control.
Fascism, corporate control of the government. Now, the ruling by the Supreme Court, you know that ruling where they said corporations have the same rights as people?
Citizens United.
I believe that will be the ruling that destroys the country. I truly believe that, unless it can be repealed. Well, then if corporations have the same rights I do, how come they don't have to pay the same tax rate I do? If you want the same everything as me, then they should have to pay the same as me. Oh, lower corporate taxes, lower corporate taxes. Half of these corporations don't even pay any taxes, because they got buildings full of lawyers to find loopholes to make sure they can, which gets to another subject of mine, abolish the income tax and go to a national sales tax and all of it solved.
I think you'll be surprised to hear how centrist Jesse is in terms of the kind of system we actually need.
You can be a capitalist society, but you need a certain balance of socialism to make the standard of living rise up for all. Because when the standard of living rises for the vast majority, it's a way better world to live in than it is when you only have rich and poor. And unfortunately, the trickle-down economy method has created the rich and poor here, because 62% of people now don't even have $1,000 in the bank. If that's true, then the middle class, then they've been successful. The middle class, as we know it, is gone. Now, there still may be some upper middle class that'll survive, but the middle class, lower middle class, are now poverty, if that's the case. And that's what they seem to be shooting for when they destroyed the unions. Now, don't get me wrong. Unions can become bad, too. Anything that man runs can become bad. But unions served a purpose. They created the middle class. So when you saw the destruction of the unions go down over these last number of decades through my lifetime, you're going to see the middle class shuttle right out the door with it. Because believe it or not, it was the unions that created the middle class. And when you destroy the unions, you destroy the middle class. So, and maybe that's the globalist theory here, because they need us to be like Mexico so they can put us all under $1 like Europe. And that's a globalist philosophy of only having rich and poor.
Well, if the system is this broken, I asked Jesse, does he expect some sort of revolution? That's not really the direction he was leaning. In fact, he's my second guest in a row to express a whole lot of hope in the millennial generation.
I don't think the transition will maybe happen now, but it's going to happen because of the millennials and the whole rise of that group of people, and the baby boomers are dying off, and the millennials are going to change things a lot from everything from... The majority of the millennials I hear now don't believe in God. That's going to be a huge transformation that takes place. So, and all those things happen as much as the God people don't want to admit it because of, quote, evolution. This is evolution happening before your eyes. Whether it gets to that point now, maybe not, but it's like getting close to the tipping point. Just like Fox News. Roger Ailes got fired for sexual stuff. Well, they got to regroup anyway, because if you've done any of the stats on Fox News, did you know that their median age is like 73? They're all dying, and the new kids ain't watching Fox. So Fox is going to have to rout out all their old guard, which starts with Ailes, but you're going to see a transition there, and that's evolution. Evolution can lead to revolution. 22 states voted for a socialist Democrat, didn't they?
Where Jesse and I part philosophically is he believes in a they, some sort of top-down orchestration of events or conspiracies. And listen, history gives him a lot of valid reasons to think that way. There have been a lot of things that sounded crazy and conspiratorial, but actually turned out to be true. But I do think that a room full of Illuminati hatching evil plans is pretty rare. But lots of people making millions of decisions in their own self-interest, especially powerful people, eventually starts to look like they hatched a plan. But that's mostly in retrospect. But as I said in Revolution, a previous episode, the consolidation of wealth and power is making it easier and easier to fit all the power brokers in one room. And who knows, maybe someday I'll be siding with Jesse. And in that spirit, I'm going to leave you with one last creepy conspiracy Jesse told me about.
You know what happened on my conspiracy theory show? I had a scientist who worked on Star Wars, and he told us a bunch of stuff. And when we were done, off camera, he looked at me and says, well, you know I have a CIA handler, don't you? And I said, God, it surprised me. I suppose you would, with the things you've worked on. He says he's going to go ballistic when he finds out I talked to you. Guess what? The next morning, he was dead in his hotel. Nobody would write about it. I called the Minneapolis police and relayed the whole conversation that I had with the guy the day before. And I didn't even get a call back from the Minneapolis police to give a follow-up, the former governor. I called the police chief and told him what had happened during the show and what this guy had said to me. And now he's dead in his hotel room. Welcome to the world if you speak your mind.
I couldn't help asking, why put yourself through all this? Is it worth it?
I don't know. It's the only way I know how to live, so I can't make that judgment. I don't know any different, so I don't look back and I don't say what if, woulda, coulda, shoulda. That don't do you no good.
And as I told him from the safety of my own phone, I disagree a lot with him, but I'm glad he's out there. His legacy might not be his words or his ideas, but the fact that he can say them. He is our First Amendment incarnated with a tiny dash of madman. He's kind of like this walking, talking Independence Day, but without all the shitty aliens. In a world where corporate media and these idiots spouting talking points, I'll take a dash of crazy every single time. Now, somebody please go hire Jesse Ventura and buy his book. That's it for this episode, but you will not want to miss the next one. This is where Jesse and I get into everything from, is he going to run in 2020? How do we solve the Black Lives Matter and the problems in the Black community? Abortion, and also the Trump presidency and why that does or does not scare Jesse. You won't want to miss it. Don't forget to subscribe at ideafactory.com and tell a friend. If you want to keep me motivated, I would love for you to review the show on iTunes or wherever you listen. Tell a friend. This thing's going places. Or I'm going to go poor trying to make these. Either way, love you guys. This is the McFuture. See you next week. I'm Steve Factor.